The Holy Gospel comes from Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the tomb. There was a great earthquake, for an angel from the Lord came down from heaven. Coming to the stone, he rolled it away and sat on it. Now his face was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. The guards were so terrified at him that they shook with fear and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here, because he's been raised from the dead, just as he said. Come, see the place where they laid him. Now hurry, go, and tell his disciples, he's been raised from the dead. He's going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. I have given the message to you." With great fear and excitement, they hurried away from the tomb and ran to tell the disciples. But Jesus met them and greeted them. They came and grabbed his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to the women, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters that I am going into Galilee. They will see me there." Now as the women were on their way, some of the guards came into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. They met with the elders and decided to give a large sum of money to the soldiers. They told them, "Say that Jesus' disciples came at night and stole his body while you were sleeping. And if the governor hears about this, we will take care of it with him, so you will have nothing to worry about." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were told. And this report has spread throughout all Judea to this very day. This is the gospel of our Lord. In the name of Jesus, who is Lord of every authority.
Amen.
As part of Jesus' final words to his disciples, that we heard a couple weeks ago, he had said this to them: "The sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Those words of Jesus were fulfilled a lot sooner than I think anybody ever anticipated. Here in the text that we heard this morning, at the resurrection of Jesus, the end that the disciples had been anticipating actually happened right in their midst. They thought that Jesus' words were about some far-off, distant future, where the end of the world would happen and history would come collapsing down and everything would be blown into oblivion. But it happened right in front of them, right in their very midst. For the people had seen the Son of Man lifted up into heaven and into the clouds as Jesus was nailed upon a cross, as he was mocked, taunted, and killed. This was the moment of God's kingdom come in its fullness. They never expected it that way. And then Jesus had said that the angels would be sent to gather the elect from the four winds. And this morning, we heard about the sending
of the angels. A couple of courageous women who wanted to watch with Jesus. The angels and the messengers of the story. The story that the end of the world had already begun. That the new age and the kingdom of God had already begun right there in the middle of history. And the women were sent out to gather Jesus' disciples, the men, who had bailed on him and fled into the night a couple days before. And in the story of this, of the women encountering the angel at the tomb, if you listen closely, there's something to pay attention to. The angel promises them, if you go to Galilee and spread this message, you will see Jesus. And what happens immediately after these women listen to this word and obediently trust this word? They stumble upon Jesus almost instantaneously. They listened to the word of promise, they acted on it, and Jesus, the risen one, met them there. It was their trust that allowed them to encounter the risen Jesus right in their midst, to encounter the kingdom of God, the end of the world, but the beginning of everything, right in the midst. Trust, such a dominant theme throughout the entire gospel, and really, if you could sum up what Jesus was about, you would sum it up with the word trust. Trust in his heavenly Father. It started all the way back in his ministry when he was sent out into the wilderness and he was tested for 40 days. And as the devil tempted him, what did Jesus do at every turn? Trusted his Father. Hey, Jesus, you're hungry. You should eat. The Lord will provide. Hey, Jesus, you should jump off the temple and create a spectacle so everyone will follow you. I'm not going to test my God. Hey, Jesus, do you want all the kingdoms and the power and political authority of the world around you? No, I'm just going to trust my God to rule his own world. And as Jesus moved forward from there, he began that great teaching moment in Matthew's gospel, the great Sermon on the Mount. And at every turn, what was the point of his teaching? Trust in God. Live in that trust. Love your enemies. You can't love your enemies unless you trust that there's a God who has your back. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't store up possessions on earth. You can't let go of tomorrow and your future unless there's a God who has your back. And as Jesus went forward, he was known for the great healings that he brought into people's lives. And it was always centered around trust. His trust in his Father to restore that which was broken. To bring healing and goodness where there was pain and suffering. And Jesus, when he was crossing the great divides of the world, especially when he was on the Sea of Galilee a couple times, he was faced with great storms. Storms literally there, but then also storms from the authorities that hated him. And Jesus always trusted in the midst of the storm. He did not fear, because God at his back. And even when Jesus came across such suffering that it led to death, where a little girl had died, and everyone thought, that's the end, it's hopeless, Jesus stared death in the face, and he trusted, because he believed that his God had his back. And when Jesus sent his own disciples to carry on his mission and his journey, he sent them out and he said, take nothing with you. Not a bag, no money, no extra clothes, nothing. You're going to trust that God will provide. You're going to trust that he has your back. And as Jesus' opposition grew in Matthew's gospel, and the rulers of the people wanted to kill him, and to persecute him, and to drive him out, Jesus continued to trust. When the force of opposition, the threat of death loomed, he continued to stand firm for what he believed, because he believed and trusted that God had his back. And then as their ministry continued and the crowds loved this Jesus, were anticipating something great through him. A couple times we are told of a gathering of crowds so great, 5,000 in one circumstance and 4,000 in another. And the disciples are overwhelmed at the prospect of hungry, poor people who need their help. And Jesus tells them, just share what you have. Trust that God will provide. Jesus lived and shared as if God had his back. And as the middle of the gospel came to a conclusion and Jesus began talking about the cross to come, he told his disciples to trust God even when those in opposition to you are ready to nail you to a cross. He says, be willing to lose your life, because you trust that God will have your back. At one teaching moment, Jesus' disciples were unable to help a little boy who was possessed with a demon. And they asked Jesus, why could we not help? And Jesus said to them, because of your little trust. For truly I tell you, if you had trust like the size of a mustard seed, then you would be able to say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you if you trust. And Jesus then continued to live and teach out that trust as he headed to the cross that he knew was coming. He continued to tell his disciples that because you trust God and you know he has your back, you can lower and humble yourself as servants in the world. He said you can forgive others 77 times in a single day because you know that God has your back and they cannot hurt you. He told them, and one rich man in particular, that they could let go of all of their wealth and all of their power because they didn't need it. Because everything was theirs through the Father. They trusted that he would provide at every turn. And so as Jesus rode into Jerusalem that fateful Palm Sunday, he went into the temple in the face of the opposition that was looming, in the face of the cross, and he did not back down. He trusted God, and he did what he believed was right. And he started overturning the tables in the temple. He challenged everything that the people stood for. Challenged their very way of life, their economics, their politics, their religion, to the core. And they were ready to kill him for it. And so as Jesus was dragged onto trial, he lived in trust. He stood there before Pilate and Herod in the Sanhedrin council, and he said nothing in regards to self-defense. He trusted that God had his back. And before that, in the Garden of Gethsemane, his abandonment by everyone that loved him had begun. And there in the midst of the trial, it concluded when Peter denied him 3 times. All of his disciples left him in a lurch, but he trusted even when he had no support from a fellow human being. And there as he was nailed on the cross, the crowds began to mock him and taunt him, saying, oh, you trusted God. Where's God now, Jesus? If God is real, wouldn't he bring you down from the cross? Jesus continued to trust.
He even prayed the great Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? That goes on to talk about how God can be trusted because he came through for his people in the past and he will come through and protect their backs in the future. And so Jesus' prayer that seems like a prayer of despair is a prayer of hope. That even when God is gone, or I think that he's gone, I'm going to trust that he has my back. And so as he died there on the cross, facing his own demise, his own death, the loss of literally everything, including his own life, he continues to trust. He does not deviate from the path one bit. He believes that God has his back. And on Saturday, after Good Friday, it would be easy to wonder if Jesus' trust that he said could move mountains is just a joke. And trusting yourself to an invisible God who so often seems distant and absent. In trusting yourself to God so much that you relinquish power and control over your own life. Relinquish your fight for survival, that you're willing to give yourself over to death when it is the right thing to do. Was Jesus' trust pointless? Was he believing in a God that he had made up in his head? The women in our text this morning were the first witnesses of the power of Jesus' trust. As he threw himself into the hands of his Father, everybody thought it was a lost cause. But these two Marys, as they came to the tomb, were the first ones to see the power of trust in God in full-blown glory. The impossible stone that had blocked the tomb was removed. The Roman guards, the best soldiers in the world, had been defeated and had dropped like they were dead men. The sealed stone that had been sealed by Pilate, the Roman governor, had been broken. And death itself, the thing that we think has the final word in everything, was defeated. And the women saw with their own eyes that the tomb was empty. They trusted the word of the messenger, and they went out to do their duty. And in the process, they stumbled into the risen Jesus himself. They saw his body, and they talked to him. And they witnessed the resurrection of the dead. The beginning of a new world, the beginning of a new creation. And then these two women were entrusted to be the apostles of the resurrection. The messenger, the angel of the tomb, told them, "This message I have given to you." And the women were sent out to turn the men back from their despair and their lack of trust. So will we be people of trust this Easter? Will we be people who hear the word of the message, remember the word of Jesus that he was raised? Will we be the people who hear the promise that if you go into Galilee, there you will see Jesus? You cannot hang around the empty tomb and see the risen Jesus. You have to get on your feet and start living out the trust that his word is calling you to. If you get up and you trust and you go to Galilee, you will see
that is in Jesus. Your trust in God will be fruitful. He will not limit you in a lurch. Trust in God. That's what Jesus was all about. It's what he's invited us into. A new creation where we trust that God is ruling his world, that he will provide for us, and that we don't have to fight for ourselves, because the Lord will fight for us. He defeated death. Your tomb will be empty if you trust in the Lord. Death will not win. Amen.